Ladies and gentlemen, Life with a Lion. Not so long ago, the attic was a place where people stored old trunks and sentimental bits of junk they didn't want to part with. Today, there are three flats up there. Oh, yes, time marches on, and a man's lucky if his landlord doesn't tell him to march with it. Well, our old friend Ben, he's one of the lucky ones. He's been living in the same house since he was a young man. But then the Romans made very long leases. Anyway, let's drop in and see how the lions feel about the housing situation.
Oh, Mrs. Lion, how much longer is your husband going to be in my kitchen? I can't even prepare my vegetables.
What's he doing, Aggie?
He's knocking nails on the wall with Master Richard.
Well, he should use a hammer.
I mean they're putting shelves in the kitchen cupboard.
Oh, well, don't worry. I'll tell them to hurry. Oh, Ben, just look at this kitchen. It's a wreck.
Oh, don't worry, honey. We'll clean it up.
Where did that brown dog with a white tail come from?
That's Skeeter. He got his tail on the whitewash.
Poor Skeeter.
You mean poor us.
Skeeter, for Pete's sakes, get your paw out of that pail of whitewash.
Yeah, what are you trying to do, get distemper?
You can see what the... You can see what the dog thinks of that. When are you going to finish in here?
Pop says it shouldn't take us more than a half hour.
Now, let's not be ridiculous about this.
And what makes you think I can't finish a simple little job in a hurry?
Because I remember the time you varnished the bedroom floor, and I had to stand in the cupboard all night waiting for the floor to dry.
Now, stop exaggerating. You were only in there a few hours. Richard, pass me that cup of Turks.
Wouldn't you rather have a cup of tea?
Give it here, funny boy.
Hi, everybody.
Oh,
hello,
Barbara.
Darling.
Honey, how do you like the new cupboard?
Oh, it's very nice, Daddy.
Well, don't knock yourself out with enthusiasm.
Well, I was thinking of Russell. He's done such a lot of hard work to make our little home look attractive. And all for nothing.
Well, he should do it for nothing. He's your husband.
I mean, it's all been for nothing because we've got to move.
Barbara, don't tell me they won't renew your lease.
Oh, they'll renew it. But after October the 12th, they're going to double our rent. And we can't afford it.
Ben, do something.
No, don't let them get away with it.
What can I do?
Well, maybe you can help, Daddy. Russell had an agreement that they couldn't raise our rent.
Well, why didn't you say so? If he has a clause in his lease, you're sitting pretty.
Well, it's not exactly a clause, but they said it would be renewed just automatically. So we have a verbal agreement.
Oh, that's no good.
No, a verbal agreement isn't worth the paper it's written on.
Well, don't worry, Barbara. I'll see what I can do about it.
Oh, thank you, Daddy.
When does our lease expire, Pop?
1961. But I have a letter from the estate agent saying they'll renew at the same rent.
For how long?
For as long as the house is standing.
Well, that's a pretty wonderful lease.
Yes, but after all, we have a priority. We've lived here for 21 years, and I've taken darn good care of this house. They take all of those things into consideration.
Well, they should. You spent a fortune on this place, to say nothing of having it painted all the time.
Well, it's ours for life, so it's only natural that I should give it a new coat every year.
So you got me for life, but you don't give me a new coat every year.
Well, hand me that paintbrush and I'll give you one right now.
Oh, no, you won't.
Hey, Barbara, if you have to move, why don't you take a flat?
Oh, I can, on account of my cat, Sophie. She's going to have more kittens.
Not more kittens. Honestly, Barbara, it's time that cat realized you bought her to catch mice.
Mr. Lion, this letter just came for you.
Oh, thank you, Aggie. Oh, Marble Arch Postmark. This is probably a reply from my estate agent. But I'll bet they'll make us paint the house cream again.
Oh, I hope not. What do they say, Ben? What do they say?
Well, if it means so much to you, sweetheart, you read it.
Oh, thanks. Let's see now. Dear Mr. Lyon, under the terms of our agreement, you are entitled to remain at 181 Southwick Street as long as the building stands.
That's right. Go on.
So we must advise you that at the expiration of your lease in 1961, we intend to pull the house down.
Oh, oh no!
Oh,
they can't do this to me.
I'm afraid they can, Mr. Lyon. I hear they're tearing all the old houses down in this area and putting up flats.
Well, they're not pulling mine down.
Good for you, Pop.
Come on, Barbara. We're going to see Jackson, the agent. I'll make him do something about your house, too.
Oh, thank you, Daddy.
Ma, suppose Mr. Jackson says no.
Then your father will just have to chain himself to the railings like Mrs. Pankhurst did.
Well, let's hope that won't be necessary.
I wonder what's keeping Pop and Barbara. They've been gone for 2 hours.
They're probably signing new leases.
Oh, I hope so. It isn't as if it were just an ordinary house. It's like one of the family.
Yes, and it's full of memories. There's a fire guard where Richard stubbed his toe when he was a tiny little boy.
Hi, that was the day he said his first word.
Aggie.
That wasn't the word. You know, Mrs. Lyon, I feel like a tortoise without a shell in my back.
Well, we haven't lost the house yet. Well, look out the window. Here come Pop and Barbara, and they're carrying a stack of papers.
Good.
Oh, hello. Hello, Skeeter. Hello.
Baby, you have no idea what I've been through.
Is everything fixed?
Aye, what happened?
Oh, Ben, for heaven's sakes, tell us. What did Mr. Jackson say?
He said the commissioners are intent on carrying out a comprehensive scheme of redevelopment, and they consider our house dispensable.
I don't get it.
That's what he said.
Oh, no. Mr. Lyon, why didn't you see a solicitor?
That's the first thing I did, Aggie. I'm afraid I haven't a leg to stand on.
Well, you can sit down if you like, but I'm not going to let them take my house.
How can you stop them?
I'll stand at the front door with a gun.
Baby, you'll only make a fool of yourself.
Why shouldn't a woman make a fool of herself? The men have been doing it long enough.
Look, honey, I feel as badly about this as you do, but there's no sense of knocking our heads against a stone wall.
Aw, cheer up, Mother. Maybe you can get a lovely modern house.
I don't want a modern house. I want to stay here.
Then why are you always complaining that there aren't enough cupboards and the rooms are too small and the floorboards creak?
Ben, just because I complain about the house doesn't mean that I'm not satisfied with it.
Well, of all the... Bebe, you're a woman.
Well... I thought you understood that when you married me.
Oh, Mother, I think you'll change your mind about moving when you see some of these housing circulars Daddy and I brought home.
Oh, and there are a lot more houses for sale in the evening papers.
Oh, come on, Ma. You and I'll look over the paper, and Barbara and Pop can look at the circulars.
All right, dear. You tell me about them.
Now, let's see. Well, there's a house here with things in it I've never even heard of.
What sort of things?
Well, listen to this. Semi ditched hiss. All mod cons. H and C. Mod kinch. Large bithroom. Good guns.
Oh, say, just listen to this. I can't believe it.
Well, don't keep it a secret.
6 bedrooms, 3 bathrooms, big living room, dining room, kitchen, big garden, garage, freehold, £2,000.
Hey, let me see that.
Oh, here. Isn't that a bargain?
Yes, but it's a little too far away from my office.
Where is it?
Southern Rhodesia.
Leave it to Brainchild. Hey, Pop, here's a house that's only a mile from your office, and it's got a nice long lease.
Then it's out. I'm buying a freehold this time.
You're right, dear.
But this is a 99-year lease.
So what? After 99 years, they'd evict us again.
Honey, by that time, we'll have gone to another address.
Huh?
Yeah, with central heating.
Look, Ben. I don't care. We're nothing but gypsies. Moving, moving, always moving.
Oh, Daddy, take a look at this pamphlet.
Let's see. Say, this sounds pretty good. Baby, how would you like to live in a cul-de-sac?
No, I'd rather live in a house.
Now, stop being stubborn. I'd like to take a look at this place in the morning. How about it, honey?
All right. But I think it's a waste of time.
Baby, it's not fair to judge the house before you see it.
All right, all right. I promise I'll look at it with an open mind.
Good.
But I'll tell you now, I don't like it.
mighty glad to get home. I'll bet we saw 20 houses this morning.
Yeah, and at least 100 last week. Barbara, aren't you coming in?
No, thanks. I'm going home to put my slippers on.
Oh, Phoebe, we must get an earlier start tomorrow.
Ben, have a heart. My feet are worn right down to the knuckles.
Well, it's your own fault. You've made up your mind not to like anything we see.
Yes, that last house was very nice.
Nice? That was a tumble-down shack if I've ever seen one, and I've seen one, and that's it.
That house was in perfect condition.
And it was so narrow.
Narrow? It had the biggest frontage I've seen.
Hello, you three.
I withdraw that remark.
Florrie, I didn't know you were here.
I've been in the kitchen talking to Aggie. She says you've been house hunting again.
Yeah, but we may as well have stayed home. Ma didn't like anything we saw.
Oh, well, I know how she feels. I don't like the idea of moving either.
You mean they're going to pull your house down, too?
Yes, dear. And apparently it's none too soon. The surveyor said the Death Watch beetles are eating away my back porch.
Well, they've got plenty there to nibble on.
Ben, you may laugh, but this is not a subject to joke about.
Oh, Pop's only trying to keep our spirits up, Aunt Florrie. We all feel pretty terrible about leaving.
You know, Ben, I think it would be a good idea to buy a piece of land and build on it. For instance, there's quite a large bomb site just up the road.
Oh, I've already asked the estate agent about that.
Oh, take no notice of the estate agent. I happen to know that Mr. Hartwell is thinking of selling.
Are you sure?
I'm positive. You see, I knew the Hartwells very well before they moved here. You know, Ben, I'm sure he'd sell it to you if I asked him.
Oh, that's great. Would you, Florrie?
Come to think about it, why should I help you after all the insulting things you've said about me?
Oh, come now, Florrie. You know I was only saying those things because I don't want you to get conceited.
Conceited?
Yes. You know, you look exactly like Jane Mansfield.
I don't want any of your sarcasm.
No, I'm serious. You could almost be taken for her brother.
What?
I mean her sister. You have that same lovely smile.
Ben, you're embarrassing Florrie.
Oh, leave him alone, dear. Don't worry. I'm not falling for his flattery.
Ben, do you really think I look like Jane Mansfield?
Well, you might be an inch or two slimmer around the waist. Let's see. Turn sideways, Florrie.
I am sideways.
Well, it was a natural mistake. Your figure's so beautiful from any angle.
And speaking of angles, Pop, what's yours?
I have no angle. I just happen to like Florrie's, that's all. In fact, I was just about to ask her to dinner tonight.
Oh, that's a wonderful suggestion. Will you come, Florrie?
Oh, I'd love to.
And please bring anyone you like, anyone, even Mr. and Mrs. Hartwell.
So that's it. I might have known.
But, Florrie, it's for your own good. If we buy that bomb site, we can all build houses on it.
Oh, that would be wonderful. We'd still be neighbors, and Barbara and Russell could have a house, too.
All right, Phoebe, darling. I'll ask the Hartwells to dinner, but only because of you, Barbara, Richard, and myself.
Florrie, how lovely your eyes are when you're angry.
Oh, on second thoughts, I'll do it for the whole family. Ben, dear, I've just spoken to the Hartwells on the telephone.
You did?
Yes. They said they'd be delighted to accept.
Oh, Florrie, that's marvelous, isn't it, Ben?
It certainly is. I was afraid they might refuse.
Why?
Well, I had a feeling that the Hartwells would think it was odd. After all, you and I are complete strangers.
Oh, that's silly. I've known you for years.
Well, don't let it get around.
Florrie, I think you're a genius to have arranged everything.
Mother, Daddy, I'm Florrie. I just had to come over and tell you the news.
What is it, dear?
Sophie's had her kittens in Russell's pajamas.
Oh, how wonderful. But however did she get them on?
Dear little thing. Did she have little boys or little girls?
Oh, I don't know. They haven't opened their eyes yet.
I don't think you have either.
Oh, Skeeter, did you hear that? You're an uncle again.
Yes, Skeeter, she has six lovely kittens. Oh, Mother, you can have the prettiest one.
Oh, well, thank you, darling, but I don't want to be selfish. You've already given me two.
Me too.
Oh, thank you, Aunt Florrie. I'll pick you out two lovely ones.
Barbara, if you give me two, I'll have four.
Oh, you're a dear. Now I only have two left.
I never knew my daughter was such a clever saleswoman. I better put her next to Mr. Hartwell at dinner.
Oh, I'm so glad they're coming. Russell's terribly anxious to build.
How much do you think he'll want for the property, Florrie?
Well, he said he'd let it go for £5,000.
Only £5,000 for the freehold?
Yes. He said the important thing was having people they liked living next door to them.
Hey, did you hear that, girl?
Yes, dear. We'll make them like us or die in the attempt.
Aunt Florrie, what sort of people are they? What can we talk to them about?
Well, they're intellectuals. I know Mrs. Hartwell is interested in ancient Greek history, and he's given a lot of lectures on natural history.
Well, it looks like it's going to be a quiet evening.
Everything looks simply lovely.
Oh, thank you, dear. I just hope Mr. and Mrs. Hartwell enjoy themselves.
Well, it won't be my fault if they don't. I've spent hours brushing up on ancient Greek history so I can talk to her.
And I think I've managed to pick up just about enough natural history to impress Mr. Hartwell.
Now, remember, whatever you do, don't mention anything about the bomb site. And if they mention it, don't appear too anxious, or they think that's why you invited them to dinner.
Oh, don't worry.
Hey, that must be them. Want me to answer?
Yeah, straighten your tie, son.
Oh, sure, Pop.
Richard, what's your language?
It's English. What's yours?
Don't pull any of those jokes.
I let them in.
Oh, good evening, Florence.
Oh, how nice to see you both again.
Oh, thank you, my dear.
Do come in and meet my friends. Mr. and Mrs. Hartle, this is Mrs. Lyon.
Oh, how do you do?
And Mr. Lyon.
Oh, I'm delighted you could join us.
It's a pleasure.
May I present my son, Richard?
Hello, Richard.
How do you do, young man?
Good evening, sirs. This is indeed a suspicious occasion. Or as the French say, la plume de votre est sans les jardins.
What a witty young man.
Well, you're half right. And last but not least, this is my daughter, Barbara.
Hello, Barbara.
How do you do? Wasn't it sad about Helen of Troy?
Oh, yes.
What would you like to drink, sherry or a cocktail?
I'll have sherry, please.
Well, those cocktails look very inviting.
Bibi, I forgot to tell you, Mrs. Hartwell is a dame.
Well, I didn't think she was a man.
No, I mean, that's her title. Well, I'm going in the kitchen to see if I can help Annie.
Would you like to sit over here by the fire?
Indeed, I would. Barbara, what a lovely frock you're wearing.
Oh, thank you. Speaking of Greek mythology, I've just been reading the story of Pluto.
Oh, did you enjoy Pluto?
Yes, indeed.
Personally, I prefer Mickey Mouse.
Mother...
Oh, Mr. Hartwell, sir, did Pop, I mean my father, tell you about natural history?
Oh, I don't think I could tell Mr. Hartwell anything about natural history.
You're so right.
But I find there's nothing more fascinating than botany and zoology. Take the sprayfoot toad, for example.
Must we?
You must admit they're interesting little fellows. One day I suddenly came across one sitting on a mud bank, but he wasn't the least bit frightened. He didn't try to hide or hop away.
What did he do?
It sank into the earth and disappeared.
I wish I could.
You mean it went down a hole?
Yes.
I had one of those yesterday.
What?
A toad in a hole.
Oh, Richard, why don't you help Mother bring the hors d'oeuvres in?
Oh, I'll help you, Mom.
Oh, thank you, dear.
Well, now, let's have a cozy little talk about the subjects we're most interested in. Personally, I feel that the influence of ancient Grecian culture reached its zenith about the year 500 B.C.,
I hear the price of Coke is going up.
I think the duck-billed platypus is the most interesting of all the mammals. You know, it's amazing when you think of it. It actually barks. And the platypus is the only animal I've ever heard of that can lay its own eggs.
Oh, you're just being modest.
Huh?
Well, I hate to be rude, but I loathe talking shop.
You do?
Oh, well, never mind. Mrs. Hartwell and I can carry on with our ancient Greek.
I'm afraid I wouldn't know what you were talking about, my dear. It's really all Greek to me. I once took it up for a month merely to impress a maiden aunt of mine.
Well, here are the hors d'oeuvres, everybody.
I'll pass them around, Ma.
I'm sorry we were so long, but Richard insisted on switching on the radio.
Yes, I wanted to listen to the latest Rugger results.
I say, are you interested in Rugger?
Oh, yes. Pop and I are crazy about it.
Oh, so am I.
You are?
I'm a fiend. Did you ever see anything so exciting as the last match between England and Ireland?
Oh, wonderful match.
Honestly, these men and their cricket.
Oh, Mother, remember when Richard kicked a football right into your vegetable garden?
Mrs. Lyon, do you grow vegetables?
Do I? You should see my cabbages. They're as tall as my head and twice as thick.
Wait till you see my runner beans. They run higher than the ceiling.
So do my rambler roses.
Oh, they're my favorite flower.
Oh, really? Then I must give you a cabbage.
Well, I'd like.
I've got seats for the varsity match. Do you want to come along?
Do we? You bet we do.
Mrs. Lyon, I don't know when I've had a more enjoyable dinner.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Well, I'm surprised the men had time to eat. They were talking so much.
Well, you girls were doing all right, too.
Especially Barbara.
Oh, I haven't even started yet.
Well, if you'll all excuse me a minute, I'll go and see if Aggie's put the coffee in the living room.
And I'm just going to tell her where the pretty fours are that I brought over.
Ah, here's the coffee.
Ben.
Gloria, are you calling the cat, or has one of your spare tires sprung a leak?
Ben, I came to warn you again. Now, be sure you don't say anything about that bomb site.
Relax, pal, relax. I didn't say one word about it over dinner, did I?
No. They're very charming people, aren't they?
Two are the best, and I think they really...
Would you like one of the gray kittens or one of the ginger ones, Mrs. Hartwell?
One of the gray, I think, dear. Oh, and I must remember to ask your mother for the name of that catalog on vegetables.
I'll get you one.
Oh, how do you like your coffee, Mrs. Hartwell?
Oh, Mr. Lyon, please don't bother. We'll help ourselves. John, dear.
Oh, Lyon, give this cup to your wife.
Oh, no, no, you keep it. I'll look after BB. Would you care for a cigar?
Not just now, thank you, dear.
You'll get used to her, sir.
I'm afraid I will.
You really have a charming home, Mrs. Lyon. What a pity they're going to tear down this house and build flats.
I imagine you'll miss it very much. Have you ever thought of buying a piece of ground and building a house on it?
Well, yes, but... you see, that would be difficult for us. Florrie and Barbara and Russell want to build, too.
Well, so happens I have a piece of land for sale that's large enough for four houses. Perhaps you've seen it.
Oh, you mean the bomb site on the corner with the garage on one side of it and the big white house with the green roof and the green shutters on the other side of it?
That's the place.
Funny, I've never noticed it.
You know, Lyon, I'd far rather sell it to a friend than a stranger, so if you should be interested...
Down, boy, down, down, dear.
What a sweet little poodle.
You were saying, Mr. Hartwell...
This is just the kind of dog our little girl Emily would simply adore, isn't it, John?
Oh, yes, she's been asking us to buy her a poodle.
Mr. Hartwell, I believe you were about to ask me something.
I was? Oh, yes. I wonder if you'd mind our little girl coming over and playing with your doggie.
Oh, not at all.
Well, how about tomorrow? You can send her over right after breakfast and she can spend the whole day with us.
Oh, that's very kind of you. You see, the dear little thing has a terrible inferiority complex.
Darling, if we start talking about our little angel, we'll never leave. And just look at the clock.
Great Scott, I had no idea it was so late.
No. Well, thank you for a wonderful evening.
So sorry you have to leave.
Oh, so yes. Are we. Want us to drop you off, Florence?
Yes, please.
Well, good night.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Pop, I think you and Ma made a wonderful impression on him.
Oh, yes. But why did you have to invite dear little Emily over?
Yes, she's a shocker.
Oh, baby, I'm home.
Oh, hello, dear. Lunch will be ready soon.
Fine. Did the Hartwells bring little Emily over?
Oh, yes. She's out in the garden with Skeeter, but I think you should go out and talk to her. The poor little thing's frightened.
Frightened of what?
Well, a bite can be pretty nasty.
You mean Skeeter bit her?
No, she bit Skeeter.
Now, stop talking, silly. Oh, I can see her out in the garden now. She looks like a little cherub. Where's Aggie?
She's upstairs hiding.
You certainly are in a funny mood. Oh, look, I bought some sweets for her on the way home.
Oh, good. Let me see what you brought her. Sally mixtures. Oh, she'll love those.
Well, those are mine.
The chocolate creams are for Emily.
Well, don't give her too many before lunch.
I won't.
Oh, Emily.
Yes?
Oh, hello, dear. Emily, I'm your Uncle Ben.
Oh? And there's that horrid dog again. He hates me just because I tried to tie a tin can on his tail.
Emily, that was very naughty of you, and you mustn't do it again.
Why not? Doesn't hurt you.
Of course it does. I love little Skeeter so much that when you hurt him, it hurts me, too.
It does?
Yes. So you see, dear, tying a tin can on Skeeter's tail is like doing the same thing to me.
All right. Bend over while I get a tin can.
You come back here.
Oh, Ben, lunch is ready.
All right, dear. Come along, Emily.
Boy, you sure jump through the hoop when she calls, don't you?
I do nothing of the sort.
Oh, Ben, you better sit over here.
I'll sit where I want.
All right. I just thought that we'd put Emily between us.
Oh, well, move over, Emily, dear.
And be a good little girl and eat up all your nice spinach.
I won't eat it. I won't. I won't.
Ben, show Emily how you love your spinach.
But I hate the...
Ben, remember the H-O-U-S-E.
Yes, remember the house.
Oh, all right. It's delicious.
Is it really?
Oh, yes.
Do you like it?
I love it.
Then you eat it.
Ben, I think we're licked.
Hi, Ma. Hi, Pop. Has the all clear gone yet?
No, but she'll be on her way in 5 minutes.
Good. Where is she now?
Does that answer your question?
We'll be lucky if we have a piece of china left.
Help me. I don't want to go home. I don't.
I'm afraid you'll have to. They've sent the car for you.
They should have sent the Black Mariah.
Now, be a good girl, Emily, and put on your nice...
Ouch! She bit me.
Yes, and you tasted awful.
Your mommy and daddy want you to go home, darling. But you can come over and play with Skeeter anytime you like. Ouch! Skeeter bit me.
Mrs. Simpson has a great big ferocious dog. He could almost take my head off with one bite.
Well, why don't you go over and play with him?
He's scared of me.
Oh, who's Mrs. Simpson?
She's very nice, but I like her dog better.
Mrs. Lyon, the chauffeur's waiting for this child.
Well, go on, Emily.
I know something you don't know.
Goodbye, little girl.
Guess who's got the bomb sight?
Oh, Ben.
Wait a minute, Flora, wait a minute. Emily, what about the bomb sight?
My daddy sold it to Mrs. Simpson. Goodbye.
Oh, Ben, it's too bad you didn't ask Mr. Hartfield to sell the bomb sight last night.
Flory, that was your idea.
Now, Ben, don't you dare hit her.
Hit her? She saved me from living next door to that 6-year-old Lucretia Borgia. Come here, Flory.
Oh, Ben, you kissed me.
And that should prove just how desperate I was.
Fine. We start house hunting again next week.
That was Life with the Lions. With B.B. Daniels and Ben Lyon, with their daughter Barbara and their son Richard. Also in this recording were Doris Rogers, Molly Weir, Christina Horniman, Patricia Field, and Hugh Morton. The incidental music was by Paul Fennelly, who also conducted the BBC Variety Orchestra. The script was by Bob Luck, Ronnie Hambury, and B.B. Daniels. Production by Tom Ronald.